Welcome to Nightlight. Step away from the mainstream and gather around as we enlighten the world around us and travel this cosmic journey we call life. Join us as we share with you and provide that beacon that can guide us all to a better way. Nightlight, a reminder that you are never alone. And now your host, internationally renowned spiritual intuit, medium, channel, author, artist, lecturer, ordained minister, and good all-around girl, Ms. Barbara DeLong.
Hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to Nightlight. That was the magical voice of Ken Quiet Hawk, inviting you to come in out of the mainstream and join with us for a time to be sheltered from the storms of evolution and change, that which we laughingly call creation. Come and join in with other light-minded spirits as we weave our lights together to seek understanding, enlightenment, and wisdom. These are times of change, times that call to the seekers, and you answer that call from all walks of life and from countless aspects of the spiritual realms. This is a time of awakening, of sharing and evolving, of spreading your wings and soaring on the cosmic breath of creation. Excuse me, the pollen has gotten to me. We all come from different backgrounds and modalities from all walks of life, and yet there is a synchronicity, a commonality that blends us together, weaving us once more into a collective purpose, a common direction, and a united family once again. We go by different titles, labels, names, if you will. We call ourselves watchers, wardens, indigos, soothsayers, mystics, questers and querents, journeyers, light workers, light bearers, spiritual empaths, and that list goes on and on. It is as unique and eclectic as are we. Yet we all have the same spiritual calling, and we all, in our own very individual ways, bring light into this reality to facilitate the awakening and shifting of the consciousness for all of mankind. This is my own very private oasis in the turmoil we call evolution. So sit back, take a break, share your lights with us, and join in the love and the light and the laughter that spiritual energy always generates when lights are blended and spirits lifted. Excuse me. I'm Barb DeLong, your host, your horse host today, and along with Chris and James Luce, we welcome you in and hope you'll add your lights to ours to increase the energy and brighten all of our personal lights. We're going to be doing readings shortly, and if you'd like to call in for one, the number is 347-857-2139. Don't wait too long. It fills up fast. Chris is in the chat room, and if you do have any questions, she's the one you should IM. I don't multitask, so it's all up to her. She can answer any question you have on any subject. She is amazing and psychic in her own right, though she denies it vehemently. Ken Quiet Hawk can be found at www.nativestorytellers.com if you want to learn more about that amazing voice. I'm at www.barbaradelong, and our special guest today, James Luce, can be found at james.luce@gmail.com. Before we get involved with readings, I want to share with you some very special shows that I highly recommend to those seeking spiritual surroundings. With so many shows on BTR, sometimes it's hard to decide where you want to share your time. These are shows that I love and frequent often because of the quality of material and the spiritual energy that they radiate. Monday and through Thursday on the Wolf and the Bear Network, you'll find the most magical way for starting your day with morning blessings with Bear Medicine Walker at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Also on the Wolf and the Bear Network on Wednesdays and Fridays, Visionary Times with Bear and the Reverend Anne Rose, and that's at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I also do that show from time to time as well. Again, on Visionary Times Network on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. is Ken Quiet Hawk's Hawk's Nest, a trip down memory lane that is totally addictive if you love the earlier radio shows of the past like I do. His partner, Deborah New Moon Rising, has her show, On My Mind with Mama Moon, and that's at 1 p.m. Eastern Time on Tuesdays as well. And then there's every night from 10 to 12, Chris Curious Times, Chris's show, a place to unwind and gather with other light-minded folk and just let your hair down. I guarantee you'll never be bored, and there are always surprises at that hour of the night. My guest today is not only a good friend, but an amazing psychic medium. He is also a Shakespearean actor, which gives him a tremendous amount of drama in everything that he does. And he is just a delight to work with, a delight to share energy with, and a delight to listen to, because he always puts so much history and wisdom and knowledge into his readings that you're not only just getting a reading, you're getting information and you're getting a history lesson as well most of the time, especially if you have a past life. So I'm going to pull him on if I can find him here. I know I saw he'd called in. Hi, James, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine. I'm as hoarse as they come. So
I know. I'm so sorry. And we miss you so much, all of us, you know.
Well, yes, I do. But, you know, the universe every now and then says, I want you to go another direction, and you have to go that direction. It's fruitless and futile to fight the energies when they tell you, nope, you need to take a break, you need to reinvest yourself in other places. But, you know, I will be doing some of the fairs, but certainly not all of them. And, you know, I miss being there. I miss being around, you know, so many like-minded people. And you know, even when there aren't people there, it's so much fun to sit and fraternize that it's amazing.
Yes. And I just miss your energy and your wisdom and all your guides and your humor.
Well, you know, they're still around. They haven't gone anywhere. It's just that, I had a flu bug, and it took, you know, all of my energy, and the doctor says it's going to take me a couple months to get the energy back. But happily, I can do the radio show from my kitchen. So, you know, I don't have to, you know, drive anywhere. I don't have to sit for 7 hours and do readings. I can, you know, just be bugged by a couple of cats that want more food than they should have.
That is a blessing. Congratulations, you, that turned out.
It's amazing, you know, how when you get in a routine and you're so comfortable in it and the universe says, come on, you have other things you need to do as well, you kind of, you know, you ignore it because it's like, I'm very comfortable. You know, this is a great routine. This is a great, you know, rhythm that I have here. And
yes, absolutely.
You know, it blew me away when I finally figured out what was going on. And it was, all right, you know, I'll pull back and do this work. And the universe happily is supplying me the equivalent of what the fairs would have been. So that said, you know, I'm you know, not struggling or suffering in any way, shape, or form. I just miss the people.
Yeah, but, well, that's the same with me. I just miss you. And you do have a lot of wisdom guides that surround you of truth and insight and balance and harmony. So without you, there have been some lovely fairs, but everything is a little less because you and your guides aren't there. So I'm just letting you know you are thought of and remembered and missed tremendously.
Well, I miss all of you too. But, you know, I'm not dying. I'm not, you know, there's nothing wrong with me other than I have a sinus infection that is just not going away. And
Right.
And, you know, the pollen in the air is just, it's just brutal these days.
It sure is. With the weather change, it certainly is.
So, and, you know, what I take to get over the pollen makes it impossible for me to drive the car. So here I am. And, you know, it's really kind of cool. I've had a lot of fun and happily, you know, I'm not out of the action as far as the radio goes, and if it weren't for the radio, I would probably be very, very lonely. But I'm not, because I got all of these people that call in and want to talk with us, and there are a ton of them, James. I don't know. You are a very, very popular person, apparently.
Oh, wow. Well, your show is the only show I do. I've done Chris's once, and I want to do it again. I just have to try and iron out the calendar, but I'm thankful to the guides and masters that this has happened. You know, I'm just very thankful.
Now, did you get that role you were auditioning for?
I got a I went into an audition, I want to say, about 6 weeks ago for Taming of the Shrew, and I did Polonius from Hamlet, all Shakespeare, of course. And
yeah.
As you said, and it was just the director was out of Juilliard and is a professor and an acting teacher, and he just – it was one of those things I was trying to create and attract with the universe and with the gods. He just thought I was incredibly funny, everything I said of Polonius's. And when he called me back, he was thinking of me for one of two older men in Taming of the Shrew, either Hortensio or Gremio. And he gave me Gremio. And I get some money, and it opens July 10th in New York City for 4 weeks. And it
wow.
Is getting reviewed. And, you know, it's good. It's a Shakespeare. It's keeping me on my toes. So that happened. So when I called in that show with you and Joshua John and you felt I was getting something around the particular time in April, I did get officially cast, I want to say, 3 weeks ago, end of March, beginning of April. And it's a really good atmosphere and good energy around this play. And I'll broadcast it as soon as I know exactly. It opens July 10th. I'm not sure of the exact theater, but it runs Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for 4 weeks. And it's got a lot of very intelligent, talented people in it. It's a new interpretation of Taming of the Shrew by William Shakespeare.
Wow. So does this mean you won't be traveling this summer?
I do have an offer to go back to Buffalo at the end of August, and I'd love to do it. It's not a huge role, which I'm happy. It's a medium-sized role. It's just in formation right now. But I love Buffalo because I did get along with all the theater community there. I thought it was wonderful, and I'm near Lilydale, and I love studying at Lilydale.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Cause that's, so it's great in the summer season to be able to pick up an acting role with a little money, do some readings, and study with the greats at Lilydale, because that's the high season.
Holy mackerel. Well, I'm sure that there will be those that are going to be very upset that you're doing a show, but I couldn't be more pleased. And that is Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday means you still have Wednesdays free.
Absolutely.
Call me selfish.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I told our boss about the Taming of the Shrew. The other show is not definite yet, but I'm thankful that it's all working out, because this is the first time I've really gone by. You know this because you were an extraordinary teacher for so long in special ed, right? Is that's when you were in Mamaroneck, correct?
Right.
Right. So you know that I've been on a teaching schedule for 37 years as a professor with undergrads. And so to be able to manifest this, pray to guides, pray to masters, send out the energy, pray and visualize, and get roles that I can do, get money with talented people that are kind, that are gracious, and then be able to also continue to do readings, to go back and forth, I'm very thankful. It's just when you're in it, you don't know what's coming down the pike. You know, you don't. So it's about holding on, keeping the intention, keep praying, keep visualizing.
Mm-hmm. Well,
but
I would
I'm
love
thankful.
To see you in a. I would love to see you in a comedy.
Well, that's Taming of the Shrew.
No, I mean a contemporary comedy. I think
oh,
you would
really?
Be
really? Okay. Okay.
I think
all
you
right.
would be phenomenal. Matter of fact, Cynthia Jordan, who was on the show last night, she composed the music of the spirits for people. And for anybody that did not hear that show, please listen in archive. People would give her their birthdays, and she composed music that their spirits inspired. And she's a composer and an amazing artist, and the music was hauntingly beautiful. It was just an amazing experience, and she is currently writing the music and lyrics for a show that's going to be on Broadway. And somehow
oh
I have to get you and her together somehow.
Oh my God! Okay, okay.
Because that would be a great connection for you.
Oh, sounds great. Thank you.
Yeah, not to have you sing, but to have you act.
Of course.
No. Do you sing? I just.
No, I need help singing because of the automobile accidents that turned me into a medium that kind of crunched my head open affected my hearing. My voice is resonant and I can sing, but my hearing is a bit off in terms of being pitch perfect or on pitch.
Oh,
so
well,
if it
calls for someone who can't sing, then you're the man, huh?
Possibly, yep.
Okay, we have a lot of people here lined up, so I think we better start reading here before somebody starts to grumble.
Okay,
we've got Michael here. Hi, Michael. How are you doing today? Hello, Michael.
Yes, hi.
Hi. How can we help today?
Yes, hello. I have a question about channeling my guides.
Sure.
So I really feel like I'm moving into the next phase of my life, and I feel like there's a new group around me, and I was just wondering if there's any advice in connecting with them or any messages that I'm not hearing.
Okay, several things come up here almost immediately. I do not doubt for a moment that there is a wonderful line of communication here opened with your guides and the spirits that are around you, but most importantly, the spirit within you that is trying to talk to you as well. And it feels as though you are playing I Doubt It on a really huge level here. And the message I get immediately is we talk to him, he just thinks it's his imagination. So, you know, what does he want? You know, bolts of lightning, thunder, and a burning bush. And basically what's here is that line of communication is open. I would suggest that on top of everything else that you do, and James is undoubtedly going to add to this, that you would try stream of consciousness writing, because if you're channeling while you're writing, you will be able to see the different voice as it comes out from spirit as what is your intellectual voice. So that if you did the stream of consciousness writing, you'd be able to see where spirit actually comes in and takes over and begins to write for you. And, you know, if you want to kind of have guidelines as far as that goes, contact me. My email is barbaradelong@gmail.com, and I'll walk you through the process a couple of times so you feel the click in and you know when it is that spirit is talking and when you're talking intellectually. But I think that to start out, it's better for you to you know, do the writing rather than trust those voices that are in your head, because your ego has a good voice too, and sometimes it's hard to differentiate between the ego and the spirit. James, what kind of suggestions do you have for him?
You read as very clairsentient. I mean, your heart is opening, which is the intuitive center, being the center of healing energy, being the center of unconditional love, being the center of generosity. So you need to stay in your heart and open that even more, because you do have some spurs and spikes in your head that once the message gets going or the feeling gets going, exactly what Barbara said, there are some voices in the head that cancel it out or split it or make you doubt, make you wonder, make you think. And this is not about thinking. This is about faith. This is about belief. this is about commitment. And if you work through feeling, I don't think your third eye is open just yet. It's going to open this year very much. Or if it's open, it gets a bit obfuscated by too much thought, too much thinking. And I would, if I were you, go around thinking, believe that you are clairsentient, because you are. And if your heart is open and moving forward, that's positive. That's creative. And you can register this and practice this with guides, with names, with asking questions, with a pendulum. The automatic writing that Barbara talked about is excellent, but a pendulum is good too. The other thing is, you need, I don't know if you're doing this or not. I mean, I'm feeling that your heart is tremendously open and you have amazing sensitivity, but in talking to the guides, use the universals as protectors and as ladders and as insulators, such as the white light of Christ, such as Archangel Michael, such as Archangel Gabriel, because that is white light of God that forbears and that communicates, such as Lakshmi, who is the universal in India. She is benevolence. She is unconditional love. She is blessing. She is abundance. In other words, the heart-opening energies, as you pray to them and ask them to open you, then bring the message after that. Because I'm getting the message that you need that opening ritual to get your heart and your chakras even more open to what the guides are saying.
Yes. Perfect. Absolutely. That's exactly what's happening.
Well, you know, we all struggle with it when first we get involved in this field. Everybody plays the I doubt it game a lot, and even after 50 years, I play I doubt it. It's like, you must be kidding me. I'm not doing that. And you know, then it has to come another way, and oftentimes, the more I ignore it, the more likely it is I'm going to get hit with a 2x4 to kind of get my attention. But it's a good thing to question. It's a good thing to doubt. But I think you have taken it to an extreme. So
okay,
loosen up a little bit. And understand that anything that is channeled from a spirit, anything that comes from a spirit, is more of a philosophical gift that you can apply to whatever it is you're doing. Spirits are not going to tell you what to do. That's not their job. They're there to support us, give us confirmation, and from time to time, you know, give us a philosophy that will help us to discover what we need to discover. They aren't meant to give us the combination to the safe, to tell us where our lost car keys are, or to tell us who to be with or what job to take. They're there to give us
the philosophy. They are so far beyond Earth, yeah. The great ones that really want to give wisdom and enlightenment are so far beyond what the lottery number is and where are the car keys. You know, they just laugh at us, you know. I mean, and I envy them myself, because they're in the world of no time. And so you can work on your projects without the deadline. Because down here on Earth, we are really imprisoned by time. We are shackled and chained up by it. And deadlines and money and taxes and all the things that really don't mean much to the grid above us. It is the unconditional love. It is the generosity. It is the imagination and the creativity. So everything Barbara said is so true. And that's why the more you have a practice of breathing, of praying, of meditating, of Qigong, of Tai Chi, what that will do is clean you out even more and then open yourself to the guides.
I forgot about the Qigong. I used to practice Falun Dafa, and that was, I forgot about that. That's perfect. Thank you.
Yeah, that's really good. It's really good. It will help.
Okay, Michael, thanks for calling.
Awesome. Yes, thank you. Woo!
Take care.
You too. Thanks again.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okie dokie. And we've got Bianca. Hi, Bianca.
Hello.
Hi.
It's Bianca. Hi.
Bianca, sorry.
That's okay.
You know what? It is. That's what Chris wrote, and I just went the other way. How can we help?
Well, I was calling in to find out, I have been feeling stuck in my life probably for the last 6 months, kind of like I'm in a holding. And I just wanted to know if Spirit had any messages, any confirmations of the ideas that I've been kind of toying with, just kind of what Spirit wanted me to know today.
Well, I would absolutely say you have been in a holding pattern. There's no doubt about that. And it feels as though you've been doing a lot of internal looking at different projects and how you can change things and how you can move in new directions. That blockage is soon to be lifted, and it feels as though you're moving in new directions. I'd say that education is here, books are here, stretching yourself is here, putting your house in order is here, and setting yourself free from a lot of the misconceptions about your reality that you've been holding on to for a very long time. You've grown up in many ways in spirit. And so it feels to me as though you're applying a more spiritual outlook and philosophy to life, and it is going to require new directions in almost all aspects of your life, including especially relationship, and not only your relationship to the people around you, but with work and the way that you need or want to spend your time within the physical reality, doing whatever work you need to do in order to do the spiritual work on the side that is most important to you. The most important thing here, the most important thing they're saying is balance, is understanding that the physical mundane reality is just as important as the spiritual reality. They have to be in balance in order for you to move forward, and in the past they haven't been. I do feel you've brought them into a better balance now than you ever have before. James, what are you getting?
Could you... say your name one more time and ask the question, please.
Sure. My name is Bianca, and my question was just feeling like I've been in a holding pattern and not sure in what direction to go in a lot of different things in my life, and I just wanted some guidance from Spirit was really my question.
Okay, great. You've got... a lot of stored up will force, you have the ability to hold down a job, you have the ability to be creative and productive, you have the ability to really be warm and connect with people and negotiate, to be a salesperson, to be helpful. You have excellent communication skills and with people, whether it's written, whether it's oral. You've got good management, you've got very on earth, you have a lot of good industriousness, and trust that. Trust that. In your faith and in belief and in your intuition, there have been, I'm not sure from past lives or this life, there have been some confusions. There have been some attacks. There have been some cutting instances that have either caused you to doubt or shut up your great faith and your intuition and your creativity. And what Archangel Michael wants you to do is really open. You have so much creativity to offer, so much wild, crazy, unusual, imaginative visions and thoughts and ideas, as well as much love to give upon the world. So don't realize that whatever happened to limit this was the problem and the behavior of those people that did it. It had nothing to do with you. And it's really about pulling it out and not letting it affect you, because you have this bubbling humor and creativity that is your real self that will come forward this year. And the other thing is, keep going with the earth jobs that you get. But the more you let your mind loose, the more you let your mind loose through exciting things to read, through spiritual tracks, through channeled literature, through channeled messages, the more you let your mind loose and the more you let your soul loose through any kind of creativity, whether it's automatic writing, whether it's sketching, drawing, dancing, moving, you're going to enter a new realm of playfulness. And your real job is in being creative and in helping people. whether you're a manager, whether you're a counselor, whether you're guiding people. And this is going to be sort of like a new track that will evolve for you this year.
Okay. And with the past life issue, is there anything – that's so funny because my mind always wants to go to, okay, so what can I do about this? Is there some sort of ceremony or ritual that I can do to let go of past life things that may be holding me back now?
One of the things you want to do is when you pray to Archangel Raphael and you pull this out, it's really in your heart, pull out the streams of pink and green, which are the colors of the heart, and clip anything, you know, call on Archangel Michael, clip anything that is not light, is not of wisdom, is not of generosity, is not of compassion, is not of creativity. You know, you want humor, you want craziness, you want creativity, you want self-expression, you want the magnanimity of unconditional love coming out of your heart. And the other great prayer, it's important, is the karma is over. It is over. The lesson is over. The karma is over.
Okay.
Because there have been a few people in this life that have kind of swiped you or invaded you personally and intimately. From that past life, the energy's still been in there, and it's really not you. So it is about Archangel Michael, White Light of Christ, Archangel Raphael, you know, clipping, because Archangel Michael has a sword. You clip it, and it's like, I reclaim my compassion. I take back my creativity. And everything will be a lot less. It will be more along the lines of your true self.
Okay. Perfect. Alrighty,
okay.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling. Take care.
Okay, you too. Thank you.
Okay. I want my voice back. we've got Glennis here. Hi, Glennis.
Hi, Bob. How are you? And hi, James.
Hi, Glennis.
We are fine. He's in better voice than I am, but we're fine.
That's excellent. I would like to know who is around me. I just have this feeling that there's more around who have things to say to me, and at the moment I'm feeling like I'm in a bit of a block and I'm not hearing all. So I wonder if you can tell me, is there someone there that's needing to speak?
James?
I've got a woman who's very playful and lighthearted around you. She reads older. I don't know if this is the age she passed, she was very loving and very dynamic and exciting, I want to say, when she was 45, 55, up to 60, possibly. She's got a long skirt on. She's kind of being funny. And she's very loving. She liked to play dress-up, but she liked she's wearing many different costumes. She liked holidays. She liked to play dress-up. She loved playing with you. I don't know if this is it feels like a grandmother energy or a great-grandmother energy or a great-aunt energy. Some kind of female energy that really protects and adores you and guides you through great love and through great mischief. There's a lot of tickling going on with her. And basically, I think in some ways how she dressed in her ordinary life, I feel the dress, I feel the skirt is long. I feel the skirt is long. I feel there's a blouse. She's sort of plain. She's sort of plain, which is the exact opposite of the way she was in terms of her personality. Does this ring a bell, this woman?
No. I can't work out at all who it might be.
So you don't know anybody in spirit that's a female that's...
I do know a lot of females in spirit, but I can't picture that description. No, I can't work out who
that is. The hallmark is this is the most, the funniest, the most prickly, tricking, loving, teasing, playful. I mean, this is kind of like sisterly. This is very bonding energy she offers you. You didn't know anybody in spirit who's tickling or playful?
You're back
no.
two generations. James, you're back two generations. It's a great-grandmother.
Oh, is that it? Okay.
Thanks.
That's who it is. That's who it is. It's a great-grandmother. Okay. Well,
excellent.
Okay. She wants to really lift you up, and when travel and changes come, she wants you to applaud more and be more celebratory, whether it's in social life or whether it's in the job. She's advocating travel and change and spontaneity. She's kind of giving the message of it's okay to be shaken up. In a good way, you know, in a good way, like change of scene, change of opportunity, change of people. So she comes in, and she's a big force. She's a big loving force around you.
I do. I feel that force. I never knew this lady, but I feel the force that you're talking about, yes.
And you know what? I'm getting a past life for you that's coming through so strongly that I'll have to throw it in even though you didn't ask for it.
Thank you.
I see you back in, I think it's the 1700s, middle 1700s to early 1800s, but more into the 1700s. You were a woman who sold flowers on the streets of London. And
yeah.
you had a cart, and you rolled it around, and you sold flowers, and it was fascinating because during that lifetime you used that as a way to share your wisdom with other people, and it was kind of like your way of being a bartender, but not being a bartender, because as people would come to you to buy flowers or to look at the flowers, you would talk with them and you would solve their problems, and you were kind of like a streetwalker shrink. Selling flowers.
Excellent.
And
yeah.
and you come into this lifetime with sort of the same feeling that you really try to help everyone you talk to, whether it's in the grocery store or the gas station or whether they actually just ask for your advice. And so, you know, you really are a strolling font of wisdom and knowledge and insight. And for some reason, do bright colored flowers, you know, do you relate to bright colored flowers?
I do. I love them, yes.
Because, I mean, you grew your flowers that you sold, and it was always a sadness for you during the time when you didn't have flowers to sell, that, you know, you couldn't walk the streets and just give out your advice. You had to have a product so that there were times when that were down times where you were just waiting for things to grow. This lifetime, you have down times waiting for things to grow. And during that time when you did not have things to grow, you spent your time in libraries learning and stretching your wisdom and finding new ways and new philosophies to share with people so that you would have greater gifts to give when the season for your sharing arrived. And this lifetime, you have those same downtimes, and it you're supposed to be, you know, learning and sharing and growing so that when the uptimes come, you have more to give.
Yes.
And I'm not sure that you're actually doing that, but that's what Spirit is suggesting that you understand. That you will have times in which there's a great deal of communication with other people and a lot of stuff going on, and then you're going to have a downtime for a while you're supposed to be going and gathering new stuff to share.
Okay. Yeah.
So don't wonder what happened to everyone. Where did they all go? It's just that it's time to raise that crop of new wisdom inside of you so that when the season arrives, you can share them.
That resonates well. Thank you so much, Bob. That's beautiful. And thank you, James, very much.
God bless.
Thank you. Blessings to you both. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I kept seeing that woman you were describing, and, you know, it was kind of like, you're not back far enough.
She's very dynamic personality.
Definitely, definitely. And definitely, you know, one of the great-grandmothers. We've got Rebecca here. Hi, Rebecca. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. How are you all doing?
Oh, we're doing just fine. How can we help today?
My question is in regards to a job or money.
Okay.
I've been in transition with my career, you know, with layoffs and recently laid off in January. And I am working, but it's not in a job. You know, I'm underemployed, I guess, right now.
Okay.
I'm concerned about money.
Yeah.
Did you feel that?
I do. I just, you know, I don't see you needing to take apples and pencils to go on the street corners, but I know that's something you thought you might have to do. No, you're not going to need a tin cup. It does feel as though you need to change the way you're focusing and you need to sort of alter. You haven't been following your life's dreams. You haven't been looking at your passions and incorporating them into the kind of job you should take. You are, and I can certainly understand why you're looking for wherever there's money.
Yeah.
But the reality is here, the universe sort of arranged for you to be unemployed so you could check out what your passions were, decide what they are, and weave yourself into a job that would incorporate them into your lifestyle so that you were working at your passions and earning a living from it. I'm seeing healing energy. I'm seeing new beginnings. You are extraordinarily, you know, creative and intelligent. And panic has made you settle for almost anything instead of figuring out where you really need to go. You're phenomenal with people. You have great communicative skills. You are a problem solver. You are someone who can be amazingly creative in unusual places. And I just feel that this is a time where the universe wants you to at least understand what your passions are and at least be working on them. One of the first things that always I check out is how much creativity is going on in your life, and there's none. And
yeah.
Spirit can't manifest within your reality and help you move forward if it can't get through those channels that are of a creative nature and then flow into your reality. So that basically you have cut yourself off from the universe and the spiritual energy because you're not being creative, and you can start, you can color mandalas or you can knit, or it doesn't matter what you do, it just has to be creative. And while you have this time, all you have to do is start doing a little bit each day so that channel is open, so the universe can start to sort of flow into your life and start to make things happen. Frankly, the universe is laughing at you because it's all up to you and you're not doing anything to make it happen. So,
I feel really in survival mode. Like, I am literally just trying to survive, so it's tough.
Oh, yes, but
yeah.
While you're doing this non-job, you're not doing anything creative. You're not trying to start to open those channels. And you know, there's tons of stuff on the other side just waiting to flow through. But you aren't connecting to them because you don't have a channel open. And it can be rearranging closets. It can be rearranging your medicine cabinet alphabetically or whatever. It can be cooking. It can be sewing. It can be, you know, just anything of a creative nature. And you know, you don't have to be good at it. You just have to enjoy it. So find something that you enjoy. Find something that gives you pleasure. And again, if you want to paint and you don't paint well, that's fine. Just paint. If it doesn't matter what it is, it gives you joy. And as long as you get a little bit of something in every single day, that opens the channel and the universe starts to move you in the direction you need to go in. I strongly feel, strongly, 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 that within the next month, you're going to have an idea of new directions to apply in, to sort of try to put yourself in. And please go outside the box, because you're doing mundane things, and that's survival, and you have to do that. I understand that. But when it comes to looking for really something that's going to be a career, stretch yourself out and look into new directions that you hadn't looked in before. Be a little bit crazy about it. And so long as the pay scale is appropriate, you know, by the time you get to December, you have moved into a new venue totally. By the time you've moved into September, the pieces have fallen together, and there is a new, different job. By the time you hit August, there's compensation and money coming in above and beyond what you anticipate. This is a time where you need to really, really pay attention to, yes, you're going through a grinding process now, and it's survival mode, and I understand that, but you can also look at the creative aspects that are out there and try to figure out different and unusual and unique jobs that you might be able to apply for. And you know, sometimes, you can say, I don't have any experience here, but I love this field and I'm ready to learn. And people, you know, are usually very, very open to training someone in their methods so that they don't have to untrain them and then train them again. So there's a lot of great potential here. There's happiness, there's joy, there's celebration. It's just a matter of getting those channels open so that the universe can start to help you out. James?
And the job you're in right now, don't let it intellectually affect you. There's some thoughts in your mind. There are some energies in your head that are a bit downtrodden and that are a bit on the trapped and possibly depressed side. And the job you're in right now is... both of us, everything Barbara said is so true. We can see great opportunities coming for you. And this present, make light of it. Be lighter about it. Sing in the car, pray in the car, call on peace to surround you. Call on balance and harmony from Lord Krishna to surround you. Open your heart. Protect yourself. Don't take this job as the be-all, end-all of survival. You do a very good job in it. All of the talents that Barbara elucidated you have, whether you believe it or not. Barbara channeled your abilities with people, with organization, with management, with communication brilliantly. But believe that. Be lighter and happier in the job. Don't take it so seriously, and you will attract many, many, many more opportunities. And then there will be abundance.
In all aspects of my life, I need to be lighter. You are exactly right.
Well, the guides and masters, yeah, but especially the job. Because if you're heavy in the job, then you will attract more jobs of I have to work and work and work to make ends meet. Instead of, no, trust your talents. Focus, as Barbara said, focus your talents, trust your talents, joy in your talents, and you are attracting abundance through your talents. Your talents with people, your talents with being silly and funny and talking and managing and helping and organizing. You can do all of this. And even though the job doesn't require it, as you bring it into this job, people will subconsciously respond more positively, more favorably. You know, there could be advancement, and most of all for you, you'll start attracting more lucrative jobs. You know, the schedule Barbara gave you is absolutely right on. By next summer, there will be abundance and freedom in survival.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
God bless you. Absolutely. God bless you.
I have found that laughter is the absolute best tool we have to work with.
Lightness of heart.
Yeah, there are times and situations where there's nothing to laugh at, and yet the fact that we are making, you know, just, you know, you're being faced with a hurdle. You're being faced with something that your soul asked to be put in front of you so that you could grow and stretch yourself over. And you know, sometimes when I'm faced with those kinds of situations, I do sit down and I do kind of, you know, speak to whoever happens to be listening. You know, do you really think this was important for me to do? Do you really think that, you know, I'm pretty sure I didn't choose this particular, I didn't check this box before I reincarnated. And, you know, haven't I done this enough? Don't you think that I have enough practice at this? And, you know, sometimes you need to get that off of your shoulders. And you know, it's like you must be joking, you know. And sometimes the universe, you know, when it sees that we aren't struggling, when it sees that we're just, you know, hunkering down and doing what we need to do to get by, you know, they lighten the load. They take our lightheartedness seriously. I mean, you don't laugh at, you know, stuff like not having money to pay bills and stuff like that. But, I mean, I look back and I think of some of the times when, you know, there was a solid year when I was a kid where we had rice-a-roni for dinner every night. And, you know, I swore to my mother my eyes were beginning to slant if we didn't get, you know, a different dinner. And she, my sister and I still cringe when we hear that rice-a-roni commercial. But you know, it's like, you know, okay, I will promise you, you will look back and laugh. I promise you. And, you know, you can always come and find me and tell me you're not laughing, but I'll just tell you not long enough has gone by. But all of these lessons fade as time goes by. And if you choose to sit in place with a lesson, which is what you've done, it makes it more uncomfortable. So all you need to do is start fueling your life with a creative energy. I'm not kidding. All you need to do is print out mandalas and color mandalas every night before you go to bed. I swear to you, that's all you need to do.
Okay.
Have fun with it. Call me crazy. You know, call me all sorts of names, but I promise you.
Or read poetry. Read poetry out loud. You know, read anything from Shakespeare to Wordsworth to Wallace Stevens. Read poetry. You know, read the poetry in the New Yorker magazine out loud. Read the humorous satiric pieces in the New Yorker or any magazine. Just engaging with the literature. Any piece of the literature will open your soul, as Barbara says, creatively.
No, it makes sense. It really does.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, thank you. Well, thank you for the great advice.
We are here sometimes twice a week, so call back and, you know, catch us up on how well you're doing.
Okay. Thank you.
Take care now. Bye-bye.
Bye, y'all.
Bye, y'all. I wonder where she is, 919. Okay, we've got Kimberly here. Hi, Kim.
Hi, Barbara. Hi, James. How are y'all?
Hi.
How can we help?
How can we help?
Yes. The last time, Barbara, I talked to you, you had Mary Pizer on. I think that was her name.
Pillar.
Anyway. Oh, okay, Pillar. Anyway, she was telling me that I should be in Northeast Atlanta. I'm in the process now. Well, I'm staying with someone temporarily. Now I'm out looking for a place to live, and I just want any specifics from Spirit in reference to that and the move.
Well, I think you're looking in the right area.
Are you looking at Atlanta? Is that it?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay.
You've read her before, James, describing areas in Atlanta, I think.
I remember that. Yes.
You know, I think that from what I see and what I feel here, it feels as though you're going to know when you've hit the right place. There's going to be something inside of you that just resonates, and it's perfect. I would the only caution that I have for you is stay within your price range. You know,
okay.
Exactly what you can spend, and don't. You know, don't fall in love with something that is just $100 more.
Okay.
Okay. And if, you know, it's really important for you to feel the places that you're looking at. And I would definitely go by the feeling. I would shut your eyes and take a deep breath and, just see what you can, what you feel that way. Okay?
Okay.
And you know, I as far as giving you a description or a look of any place or anything like that, that'll restrict you terribly. The energy
okay.
of it. And
okay.
and see how you feel. James, what do you get?
And sound-wise in the place, everything you said is so revelatory, Barbara. I just want to say sound-wise, there's more nature sounds in it than there are sounds of the city in Atlanta. There is more nature. There are more birds. There are more crickets, more birds, more breeze in trees, in leaves. It is a place that has nature in it, the district. It's not expensive, but it has the sweetness and beauty of nature in it. And
okay.
it feels like a possibly older section of the city. I don't know if it's colonial or 19th century or, I mean, and it could be a modern place. It could be a studio, one room that you look for. But you would feel the nature around you. In bushes, in flowers, in flowering shrubs, in bulbs, in trees, in crocuses, in blue jays, in robins, in cardinals. There's just a lot of insects. There's a lot of natural life, which is a blessing for the place. And as Barbara said, you'll feel right there. You will feel that you can breathe and relax.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Okay, Kim. Happy hunting.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. We've got... God, I'm so frustrated with my voice here. We've got Marie. Hi, Marie. How are you doing today?
Hi. Thank you, Barbara. Very good. I was calling in to ask a similar question to the earlier caller. I was wondering if I'm doing what I should be doing right now, or am I missing the boat? Is there something else I should be doing? You know, I was just wondering if I could get any indications on how things look that way to you.
Well, I don't think you've missed a boat. I think you're taking your time doing a lot of things, but I don't think you've missed a boat. You're looking for there to be a signal or some sort of sound that goes off that says, yes, you're on your right path, and yes, you're doing the right thing. I will tell you that if you're not doing the right thing, that everything stops, and you're going to wonder what happened and who didn't pay the bill. And it does feel like things are moving. I do feel that you're working on yourself. I do feel that you have established a new balance within yourself between your physical reality and the spirit. And, you know, what I see here is that there are so many talents and gifts that you're carrying inside of you that you're waiting to manifest. It feels like you're getting frustrated and wondering, when is this all going to happen? And, of course, the other side doesn't have a time frame. So, you know, it'll happen when it's right for you, when you're at a time and a space where consciousness-wise you can deal with the new talents and gifts that are coming through to you. There's a lot of healing energy here, tremendous amount of healing energy. And I do feel that there's a lot of past life material you're dealing with as well. So that you know, I see four or five past lives where you have been a healer, one who helped people to find wholeness and health within themselves. And I'm not talking about physical. I'm talking about emotional, intellectual, and psychological. So that your gifts and talents are not going to fall into any comfortable little cubby holes, because they're different and they're very unique. It feels like you're trying to fit yourself to a label or fit yourself to a particular venue, and your talents and gifts stretch across all sorts of venues and all sorts of really cool aspects of life. So that you know, there's an aspect here of a teacher, but not academically. You know, you teach with great wisdom from your own experience, and you do teach dramatically, and there is a spirit guide that is a teacher that is, you know, sort of behind you, feeding you information, constantly learning, constantly stretching, constantly growing. You have to always be growing intellectually, and I don't mean, you know, so much as history and things like that, though that is fascinating. But I'm feeling that the intellectual stretching I'm looking at is in the paradigms and the philosophies of this and other dimensions, this and other time frames. So that you know, we're talking on a spiritual level here. You know, what are the concepts? What has guided people to this point in time? And how have those wisdoms needed to be stretched into a philosophy that works in this time frame as well, much like the Bible was written from the perception of the ancients 2,000 years and more ago. And those philosophies do transcend into this time frame, but they have to be expanded into the vocabulary of the time and the intellectual consciousness of the time as well. So that you know, that goes for everything all around the place, except for the fact that the Bible is based on the Golden Rule, and that doesn't need to be updated because it applies, you know, aptly for every generation wherein it is recognized, and it's been around since the beginning of time. So you have a lot of unique and quirky gifts. You know when someone isn't telling the truth. You don't necessarily know what the truth is, but you know when they're not telling the truth, and you don't know how you know. Now, that's an aspect that will not, you know, earn you a job or whatever, but it is a cool thing to know. And, you know, it's sort of like we do past lives. I don't know how you utilize that, but it's there. And so you've got a lot of these wonderful little quirky spiritual gifts that are just so cool. It's unbelievable. And you're still growing and you're still evolving. And who I can't tell where you're going to end up because you're still in the planning stages of everything. But you do have the important balance, and that's the important thing. Are you on the right pathway? Absolutely. Having the faintest idea where you're going, but you're on the right path. And it feels as though you are going with the flow, and that's probably the most important thing I can say to you. If it feels right, do it, so long as it's not against the law.
Okay.
James, you want to feed in here?
Sure. Tell me your name one more time.
Marie?
Yes. Where you are now, I think this is work. Where you are at work, I'm spirit is showing me is that there's some oppressive energies kind of pushing in, or there have been. I'm not sure if they're energies of command, control, or drudgery, and you need to push them away energetically, with your imagination, with your will force, with your energy. Push them away because you're always very dedicated and devout in everything you do, everything you say, everything you do, whether it's work, whether it's tending for people, helping friends, helping children. You've been a rescuer in past lives. You've been a real advisor and protector. You've even had a past life as a magistrate. Because you do have a great sense of justice. And I think one reason why you feel out of kilter at this point is where you are, and it looks like it's where work is, but it's also along the lines of just daily living. Give yourself more elbow room. Open your faith and creativity more. Open your belief system more, because you have great, deep, sacred faith and understanding of how the light workers work, as Barbara said, of how angels work. You understand that. You know, take an angel course if you can on the phone, online. You've got this ability. Your faith is going to save you. But use that right now. Just push the deadlines and these energies that are sort of horning in and pushing into you a bit, because they want to know what's going on. They want more work. They want more things out of you. The more you push them away, reflect, deflect, bounce back, eclipse, Archangel Michael, you're going to have a lot more. You'll find that you really are on the right track, and that more inspiration, ideas, ideals, and wisdom is going to occur to you. Because you have this real intuitive gift, as Barbara said. You're really brilliant with it.
Okay.
That helps?
Thank you. Yeah. I'm still waiting for lightning to strike, I guess. but I'll try to make it.
No, you got to make it happen yourself. You got to push any oppressive energies, you know, deadlines, expectations, do this for me. Any oppressive energies, push it away. Push the energetically, push it away. You know, you got to open yourself to attracting and to the opportunity.
Okay.
So you have to do a bit of transformation of letting your real self out, your true hopes and dreams and feelings out.
Okay. All right, I'll see what I can do. Thank you.
Okay, Marie,
absolutely.
Thanks for calling. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I think that's something that all of us really want. You know, we want that telegram from the universe that says, well done, my good and faithful servant. And you know, it just doesn't happen. There are times when all of us sit back and, you know, say, I wonder if I'm where I'm supposed to be. And then, of course, we always are. But it just doesn't feel like we're supposed to be sometimes where we are. Wanting that lightning strike, that clap of thunder, that burning bush, that telegram from the universe is a very natural thing. You know, people who wonder if they're on the right pathway are almost always on the right pathway because they're cognizant of the fact that they're on a pathway. And you know, it's sort of like, This is an amazing journey we're on, and it's a journey, and that means sometimes we go back alleys, and sometimes we take what we think are shortcuts that end up to be dead ends, and we have to turn around, and we have to, you know, go back and get back on the main highway for a while. But always, always, always there's a GPS inside of us, and sometimes the GPS has to really, you know, ring loud, long, and hard to get our attention, but it always does. And sooner or later, we figure out that, you know, we're in a tunnel someplace, and you know, we have to put our headlights on or whatever. But being it, if you're wondering if you're on the right pathway, probably you are, and you just have to figure out why you're at the particular pit stop you're at that moment in time, and then get back in the vehicle and get going. It's really it's an amazing journey. It's lots of fun. It doesn't have to be work or drudgery or you don't have to be in the survival mode. If you can enjoy this ride, it makes life so much more beautiful and extremely fabulous. We've got Joanne here. Hi, Joanne. How are you doing today?
Hi. Wonderful. How are you both?
We are fabulous.
Very good. Thank you.
Great. I'm so blessed to get you both on the phone. Yay. Anyway. Thank you. I am from Long Island. My partner, he is also from Long Island originally. However, he's lived in Texas for 25 years. I'm going to get right to the point. Met him over a year ago, but I met him by seeing a picture of him. When I saw a picture of him, I instantly knew this was the man that I would spend the rest of my life with. And the feelings were very, very, there was no denying it. Well,
good.
A few months went by, and it's over a year and a half now, and we're still together, even though it's a long-distance relationship,
mm-hmm.
and we're talking about a future. Now, we could have and should have met many, many, many times and ways. There's so many obvious opportunities for us to have met when we were much younger in this lifetime. Because of how and where we lived and grew up. But we didn't. We knew so many of the same people. He grew up on the same block as my grandparents. We went to the same high school. We graduated 2 years apart. But we met all these years later, 30 years later, or maybe 40 years later, I don't know. Like I said, 1,600 miles away, through a picture.
Uh-huh.
Now, my question is, I feel that there was a very strong connection of a past life together, and that we both have something to learn from one another in this life. Our lives mirror one another very, very much in this lifetime. And yet there are things that I'm finding that maybe you can answer for me, because there are some unanswered questions. And I don't want to really say anything because I'm not sure myself.
Well, first off, had you met earlier, you wouldn't have the experience you have now, and that, and therefore the relationship wouldn't work the way it's working now. If you had gotten together much earlier, you probably would have walked away from each other and said, not a snowball's chance in hell. So your experience to this point in time has sort of molded both of you into a place where there are wonderful synchronicities, and you have a lot in common, and you know, it's perfect. And having a long-distance relationship, in my mind, is fabulous, because it gives you the opportunity to talk and learn about each other. And if you were physically present with each other, you would not be experiencing the exploration that you are exploring. And it's important. And it gives you a better foundation for a relationship totally.
Right.
Through the cards. And you know, there's a wonderful, I mean, the relationship looks fabulous. Have you had past lives together? Absolutely. And it's interesting. I'm picking up on three past lives here, and what's fascinating about them is in each of them you met later in life rather than earlier.
Right.
And what I'm finding here with the past lives is that as in your younger years, you definitely didn't have the maturity, the understanding, or the philosophy in order to make a relationship work and work well. But
mm-hmm.
later in life, you had the wisdom that you know, you weren't going to get, you know, you weren't going to trip over the stupidity of youth. And let's see, I can take you back 400 years to France, and you both had been married and widowed, and there were four or five children, and you met in your 40s, late 40s, early 50s, and you got together, and you both had very dry senses of humor during that time frame, and no matter what happened, you just look at each other and laugh, like, you know, earlier this would have broken us up, but now it's just stupid.
Right.
And that particular relationship, I mean, you both lived to a ripe old age, whatever was a ripe old age of that time frame, but you raised the children and you did it well, and it didn't matter who actually birthed the child or fathered the child, you know, it was, you know, you had these wonderful children and you did well by all of them. If I take you back 700 years, I want to take you into China, and again, later in life. You had been single all of your life. He had been married and widowed, and you had a similar philosophy in education, and you were both very, very wise, and you got together because you had no one else to talk to that had the same experience and or knowledge and wisdom, and so it was more or less your minds that brought you together in that lifetime, as opposed to, you know, the physicality that often brings people together. And so that there was a blending of the minds and then the hearts, and everything else fell into place. And again, a very long lifetime together. And if I go back 1,000 years into I keep hearing Sri Lanka, so that's where we're going. And this was a lifetime in which you both had sworn to be celibate, to be alone. You both of you were following in a religious practice and different religious practices, and you both got very upset and disillusioned by how things were evolving, and so you both left the religious practices, and later in life you met, and what drew you together was the fact that you had a spiritual philosophy that didn't fit in any of the spiritual philosophy aspects of religions there. So you formed your own little group and gathered a large number of people together and founded a I don't want to call it a religious thing, but it was a spiritual group that it was not a religion, but it was a spiritually oriented group that had the same philosophies. And I do believe that whatever that was, it still exists today. But it's a very small group of people. But it still exists today. So that you have these, you know, late in life is much better. And I do feel that. You know, this is a really good, relationship for you. James, what are you getting?
Your partner has pieces of him where he's very active, very emotional, in celebratory, a lot of vim and vigor and determination and progressing through problems and people, very hail fellow well met, and there's a real social side to him that attracts a lot of people. He does have an emotional side where there is subconsciously some pulls on him that are somewhat inhibiting him or not giving him his complete emotional freedom, creating responsibilities, creating pulls, creating some pressures. And he's going to be happier if he lets all that go. There is a way to let it go. There's a way out. There's a way to get free of entanglements. But he's such a good guy that he does make more of entanglements and responsibilities than he needs to.
Right.
Does that make sense?
He's very, very, very dedicated. He's a very, very strong-minded, driven.
But he doesn't need to be dedicated to all the things he's dedicated to. It'll loosen him up more. It'll free him up.
Well, you see, I'm the social one of the two of us. He's very engineer-oriented, if you will. He's very
complex.
But isn't
he good with people? Doesn't he have close friends and sensitive people around him?
No, me.
He doesn't have friends?
One. Not really, no. I am the one.
Nope.
The people that were close to him, he is an entrepreneur in this lifetime. The people that were, if you want to say, pseudo close to him, were very, have wronged him. And have
right, and this
him.
Is where this emotional paralysis comes in, what Spirit
right.
wants to
they
say.
Have,
he needs to let go of the emotional paralysis because
mm-hmm.
he's not a hermit. He's not a hermit archetype. Jung would say he's not a hermit. He's not a hermit energy or a hermit animus or anima. He's not a hermetic soul. He likes being, I mean, one of the past lives I get is that he was your father. He was a good protector. Another past life is he was a signalman on the railroad.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like 1870, so he fixed the railroad, but he was a communicator. In
mm-hmm.
all of his lives, he's been a big communicator and a big talker with people. This emotional paralysis of the heaviness is about getting that out of his system. He didn't do anything wrong, but he was with some people that were incredibly egotistical. But this has created these pulls that Spirit is saying on him, this emotional mm-hmm. paralysis. And the more he gets rid of it, the more flexible he is. You have a lot more balance going on in your heart, in your soul, in your grounding, in your mind. You have a lot more balance than he does.
I've been told that. I feel that. I think I get more discernment in different ways than he does, but I think that's part of his attraction to me, is the religious or spiritual discernment, if you will. We are very peculiar people, opposed to a lot of other people around us, that we really don't have, if you will, quote-unquote friends, common friends, even though we know a lot of the same people. It's because it's been very difficult socially living 1,600 miles apart. If that makes any sense, I mean, I personally, I have to get into details with a reading with one of you. I love you both. You're both magnificent, interesting people.
It's the thing is, to get him closer to you, he really needs to resolve the emotional pain, healing,
mm-hmm.
look for healing, pray to Archangel Raphael, look for healing, and
mm-hmm.
really empty out of him the emotional paralysis.
asking it. Well, it's
the concern,
you know,
the worry, the pull, the hurt, because he's still reeling from that you just
mm-hmm.
talked about. And then he'll be able, I see, if he can work on that this year, that he'll get closer to you in this New York area. And you'll be able to even live together.
I feel me going into the South, however. But it's interesting that you say him coming north. I just don't, I forgive me, but I don't even see that to be possible. Our plans are to leave the country or to continue to stay in the South somewhat. But, I mean, you may see something in spirit that I just don't see coming.
Well, what do you
possible.
Get, Barbara? I feel it's more freedom is available in the North than in the South. That's what I'm getting. But, Barbara, you might get something else. What do you get?
I get the same thing. And I love the fact that she doesn't agree at all, because that's going to make it all the more fun when it happens.
Yeah, you'll be really surprised. You'll be really shocked.
I will be. And I would love for that to happen, believe me so. But he's the one who's so adamant in staying in the state of Texas for particular reasons.
I got that. But I would say within a year to a year and a half, that reason is not going to be as valid and that he's going to want to get out of town.
I agree.
Really?
That's
north,
just what I
north.
Channeled before Barbara said it. You know, I said that. Barbara says that. I agree. Yes, absolutely. He's also just got to, he's got to, you know, shed that dead skin of the sadness that's in him, you know.
Yeah. I love you both so much. You're the most interesting people, both of you. Do you say this is a long-term relationship? Can I just ask that? Because it's a very special relationship to me and one that I've never felt before. In this
lifetime.
Yeah,
no. Absolutely.
He's not going anywhere. He's not going to leave you, you know.
Well, there's not my husband in this lifetime.
He what?
Will he be your husband? Is that what you're asking?
Yes.
You'll have the option. I'm not sure you'll take it.
Interesting again.
I don't think you'll need it.
What do you say that for, Barbara?
Because sometimes we don't need to have a human ceremony to validate the fact that souls are linked.
Yeah, that's, I understand that.
In the old days in California and in Connecticut, you had common law, which was 12 years or 7 years. If you shared the same domicile for 12 years or 7 years, you'd be married by common law. You know,
mm-hmm.
they don't do that anymore, but that was very valid and true. It's a legal proof of being linked emotionally.
Yeah,
this is
true. You know, God made love, man made marriage. By saying I didn't think you'd need it meant to me that the relationship was so strong and so firm that you know, a ceremony wouldn't make it any more so.
Oh, God bless you both. Barbara, that was so low of you to say that. My parents felt that way. I was born out of wedlock and in this lifetime. Despite their own karma differences, you know, they just feel that way. They really
yeah.
did. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's, you know, it is merely a piece of paper. Seriously.
This is true. This is very true. But unless there's anything else you'll have to share with me.
Nope.
I love listening to your show, Barbara. And James,
thank you.
You're magnificent. And I hope that you have everything wonderful that you want coming to you this summer.
Thank you.
And I hope to maybe meet you up at Lilydale if I do get up there this season. You're both magnificent people.
Well, thank you
God
for calling.
God bless you. We love you. And your guides love you, too.
I love you, too. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, we've got Carrie's River. Hi, Carrie. Carrie,
hello,
hi.
How are you?
Very well.
Can
you
hear
thank
me?
You. How are
okay.
you?
Okay.
Yep.
Good. Too much love on this program.
How can we help?
I thought I'd phone in and have some fun and look into some past lives, maybe once I get untongue-tied, alien or other planet, if you want? Or if there any messages? You need to come through.
Okay, let's see. I'm seeing a, well, you said other worlds, and that kind of turned me loose. That's kind of cool. I would say that your spirit has traveled, extensively, universally, galaxy-wise, and I think that from what I'm seeing here, that other dimensions are more comfortable for you. I feel that you shift a lot within yourself within this lifetime, and that at night you're definitely in other dimensions. There's no question about it. From what I can see, that quite often it appears that you really, really, really know that you are an alien on the planet at this time.
Yep.
And so what I'm feeling here is that you are one who watches, you are one who chronicles, you are one who keeps track. You are one that is in a hurry to get into the other dimensions where you have a greater sense of freedom, a greater sense of purpose. I from what I feel here, that very much so, that you are in some way amused by the spiritual levels that are here because they have so far to go. And that your concept... Your concept of a higher being, a greater energy, whatever, is so much beyond the concept of a lot of the people around you, so that you really avoid talking about spirituality a great deal because your take on it is just so different from most people's. I feel that you have a lightheadedness a lot because you're having trouble really holding into your body. And you know, there's a part of you that constantly wants to, you know, move on and move forward and get on with this evolution stuff. And so you probably have trouble even holding yourself in place within this reality, so that you must flip around a lot and do a lot of weird and wonderful different things. I'd say your spirit is one that is like a jumper, and you actually have jumped time frame to time frame to time frame within the earth plane, so that as you evolve, as your spirit evolves during this earth occupation, so to speak, you came from a time in the future of the earth, and next time you're going to go back further in the past, so that you really are leaping between time frames on the earth plane. I'm not sure what you're looking for, but I think you're looking for that seed of wisdom and indication that humanity has a chance to evolve. You haven't found it yet, but you're going to keep on looking, and I think it's a rather amazing aspect to you, to your spirit and to the direction that your spirit is taking. James, what are you getting?
Cool.
That makes everything you said, Barbara, has a lot of resonance and makes much sense. There are times when you've been on this planet, and because you're from, several waves of galaxies of light years away, what you have done is, there have been certain past lives where you have, for instance, been in a castle keep, been in a garret, been in a room, and have completely decorated the room with your own paintings, your own drawings, other people's paintings, other people's drawings, and then have filled the room full of talismans, of charms. Good luck charms, sacred stones. There's a huge curatorial aspect to you, as Barbara said about record keeping. But you've had several incarnations on this planet where, because you didn't fit, you were somewhat locked away. And I'm looking at the Middle Ages in this planet, and what you became was a collector. Because you also as we leave the Middle Ages and enter the Renaissance, especially the Baroque period in the 18th century, you became a designer, a designer of jewelry, a designer of clothes, a designer of interiors, a designer of brocades and tapestries. But because I see you, you have this one life, I think it was your first time on Earth, and Earth is so chaotic and so crazy and so difficult. You sat alone in the garret and spun thread. You dyed thread, you spun thread, and then you embroidered a tapestry, you knitted the tapestry. But basically it's what you said, and you spun because and just watched as battles raged outside or as people transformed outside. You have you have managed to survive very well on Earth because you are of such a very high vibration. And when you've made yourself out, when you've come out and dealt with people, you're never going to fit, which is great, but you're a real mediator and peacemaker and someone who blesses people and christens people and anoints people. You have a past life in India doing that. Healing. And my guides are telling me, I'd like to see you study shamanism and shamanics because that will give you greater consciousness as you travel to other universes and then go back into your body. Shamanism is a wonderful practice, process, and tool.
Yep, that's my path. That's what I'm healing. That's what I'm heading towards. I love shamanism.
Perfect, cool. Perfect. That's going to be perfect for you.
Awesome.
Well,
thank
well,
you
thanks
so much.
For calling.
I just love the India part. I just it makes so much sense.
Cool. Okay. Thanks for calling.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye bye. Okay. We've got Cindy. Hi, Cindy. How's it going today?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Great. We are doing well. How can we help?
Well, I'm feeling a familiarity with a profession, and I just wrote a book about it, which is basically the courtesans. And so I'm curious on the activity in my past of maybe when I was a courtesan.
Oh, cool. Okay,
Can I take this one?
Oh, run with it.
Because I know you're going to have amazing things to say, Barbara. But right off, you've got how do I want to say? Just when it was very the zenith of being a courtesan was around 1840, 1850, 1860. And you were one of the, in 1830, 1820, you were one of the leading, and I'm talking Paris. So I'm talking Paris, later Napoleonic, Paris, disintegration of Napoleon's Second Empire. But you really sort of started or were part of the quote unquote guild of or the organization because courtesans were the advisors of state. They were the advisors of international policy. They were really politicians because what they did was they soothed and eased generals and emperors and sergeants, privates, statesmen, prime ministers, and you were one of the leading ones. You were one of the leading ones between 1820 and 1830, because you had real headdresses with feathers and the sleeves that were made out of feathers, ostrich plumes. You have pheasant feathers, ostrich plumes, velvet, diamonds, gold settings, and these were all gifts from your admirers. But you were one of the purveyors and you grew to an old age, a very old age, your mission was, we are civilizers of society. We create graciousness, grace, food, companies, security, advice, and being the courtesan, it was going on for hundreds of thousands of years, but in the high place in Paris in 1820, 1860, it was part of a salon, of a literary political salon, and then the throne, or Louis Napoleon, or the emperor, would call upon this particular salon, and ladies would appear. But it's also like ladies of entertainment, ladies of philosophy, ladies of military strategy, ladies of current events, and you were very much a part of that movement. In other words, you really brought it out of the dust.
That's what I thought. I mean, you made it perfectly clear, because everything you're saying I completely resonate with. I'm going, how do I know this stuff? So.
And you want to look at Ingres, I-N-G-R-E-S, the great painter Ingres, as he paints the odalisques, because they are courtesans.
Okay.
And you'll resonate with that.
Okay. Well, it's important to me in today's world. In those days, there was such a graciousness, and there was such an understanding of the male needs, right? And I think there's a lot to be learned from the courtesans in the past of understanding our feminine power because of that, you know, that even though...
Absolutely. They were the power behind the throne. It was just that they could not, as a consort, or even some emperors got married to them, some generals got married to them, but they could, or they were the mistresses that were well taken care of. They had wisdom. They had political savvy. They were the power. But back then, a female as a queen, like Empress Eugenie, was very much looked on as a decoration. So many times throughout Europe. So yes, but they were the wisdom and they were the power. They were the grounding forces to generals and emperors and statesmen and kings and queens. Yes.
Right. So this is why, if I may ask, was I a courtesan in different lifetimes? I mean, because it seems like it's something I'm drawn to so much.
That was a big one. Absolutely. There wasn't as much political freedom of speech, freedom of philosophy and expression and discussion. It really happened with Napoleon changing everything. But before that, in the 18th century, you were members of groups, you were members of houses, where the elite would come for entertainment, the elite men, you know, the generals and the statesmen and the prime ministers would come for entertainment. But that one life in 1820, 1860 was where you really became a spokesperson.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you so much. That's really
Barbara, what do you get, Barbara?
Well, I'm getting China, and I feel
that's
that
true.
She,
yes.
She oversaw, and this goes back, you know, 800-900 years. You were one who trained the geishas, and you were intense in making sure that they understood their gifts and their talents and their skills, and it was the intellectual, the musical, and the philosophy, and the wisdom that you really made it a requirement. And often you would let girls go who just didn't want to bother with learning all of the talents and the gifts that they were supposed to learn, but you were the one that you know supplied the royalty. You were the one that made sure that their training was perfect, that their their ability to do the ceremonies was perfect, that their dancing was perfect, that their singing was perfect, that their instrumental, whatever instrument they played, they had to be a well-rounded person, and they had to be well-educated in order to mix with these people, because basically the men, while they did seek the physical company, they also sought the breeding and the talents and the skills in other areas other than the physical. The physical was important too, but not as much or as greatly. And so you ran a very, very successful, I don't think it was called a house, I think it was called actually a school, but it actually was to train the girls to be geishas, and the physicality was certainly part of the whole plan. And if I go back even further, 1,500 years, I want to go into Italy, and here is, you were widowed, you were of a noble family, you were widowed, and while you know, you were widowed at a very young age, and you chose to collect children from, you know, that had been deserted and train those that wanted to become a courtesan. I don't think it was called that in Italy, but whatever, it was not common. You had an establishment that was only for the elite and the exclusive, and you trained the ladies to be ladies, to not be, you know, common. They were trained as ladies. And you've done this many, 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 many times. And I'm seeing you more in the managerial end of it than in the service-oriented end of it. But of course, you had experience enough to be able to train. So, you know, you were well-qualified for doing what you were doing. But, yeah, I've seen it in a lot of different time frames and a lot of different cultures that you loved. You loved giving people greater talents than they had to begin with, and you nurtured their talents. You let them find their talents, and then you nurtured them rather than trying to shove something down their throats. You let them discover their passions, and you helped to nurture and grow and manifest the gifts that were within each of the people that you came in contact with. You're really, really good with women.
Oh, good. Well, I'm trying to do that. In this, I mean, I don't have a house.
No.
But I think the main message of being a lady, being dignified, being classy, that because I think right now that women just completely give themselves away. They've lost their self-esteem. They've lost their value, their sense of value. And to understand the power that we have as women and how sex is not really a dirty, horrible, nasty, bad girl thing. It's a very beautiful thing that should be celebrated and can be celebrated. And when it's done in good taste, you know, this is why generals and, like you said, the elite would go, because it's very much a part of our human nature. And
absolutely.
And so this is why I'm so passionate about women respecting themselves and using this whole scenario to respect themselves. And it makes me crazy when I see, you know, men use women and they're just brokenhearted and they're off to say, at least there was some honor in this. At least there was a monetarial exchange, you know.
Yes. And there was honor, because this was sanctioned by many crowns. I mean, you know, as Barbara and I have said in previous programs, you know, the Catholic Church, which, you know, was the state church of so many governments of Europe, was really an institution. It was a corporation. And absolute monarchs such as Louis XIV, such as the Kaisers of Germany, it was sanctioned by the crown as a method of recreation. Sometimes it was very decadent, but a lot of the times there was a lot of taste, a lot of intelligence, a lot of artistry, And as Barbara said, you know, geisha in Japan, long before the shogunate, went back to ancient China, which we're looking at, you know, like 2,000 years B.C., as Barbara said. I mean, this is sort of the yin side of the warrior states of China, is the courtesan is the advisor. The courtesan is the yin. The courtesan is the tea ceremony. The courtesan is the earthly female, feminine, sensitive, intuitive side that creates grace and beauty and is a huge part of all the major civilizations of the earth.
Right. Mm.
Yeah, Cindy, we got to move on here. So,
thank you.
Okay. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Okie doke. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, we've got Margie here. Hi, Margie. How are you doing?
Hello, I'm well. How are you guys?
Doing well, thank you. How can we help?
Very good, thank you. Thank you.
Well, some of the callers have really resonated with me. I have a lot of imbalance in my life, and I keep coming to these crossroads and making decisions. And I always tell my kids, you know, we're really defined by the decisions that we make,
mm-hmm.
The choices that we make. And I don't know, there's a lot coming at me right now, as far as career and family and friends and just all kinds of stuff. And so I'm hoping you guys can give me some advice. I don't know what the lessons are that I'm supposed to be learning, because I question, you know, is this a lesson that I'm supposed to be learning here? And there's a lot of turmoil going on with me right now.
Well, everything's a lesson. I feel that your spirit is a very ambitious one, and I don't mean as far as money goes. I mean as far as learning and growing and you know, spiritual understanding and all of that. So that I feel that you're at a point in time where you're gathering great wisdom. And there's a part of you that, you know, would rather not be gathering great wisdom. There's a part of you that would rather be in a hammock and, you know, sipping lemonade. But you know, from what I see here, you're birthing new aspects of yourself. You're coming into your own. You aren't there yet, but you're coming into your own. And as you do, there's a great richness that surrounds you. I understand there's a lot going on. I understand that there's a lot of challenge here. But at the same time, there's great spiritual expansion and an understanding of the harmony of the universe and you know, a lot of karmic stuff. You've got a lot of stuff coming from past lives at you right at the moment. So that you're basically tying up loose ends that you don't necessarily understand, but that are providing you and giving you access to move forward this lifetime. A lot of stuff has to do with truth, being truthful with yourself, understanding what the truth within you is and how to apply it to this lifetime. It feels like you've been battered, not necessarily physically, but you've been battered by emotionalities a lot. And it does feel as though you're moving into a time frame where you're pulling yourself back. You're kind of letting everything move forward, and you're just standing back and observing for a while. I feel that this summer is going to be an amazing time for you. There's healing, and there's understanding, and there's the one thing that they're saying to me is that you are going to be able to experience the philosophy of what goes around comes around. You're going to be able to experience it by seeing it happen to people around you, and people who have taken advantage are going to experience that. People who have been unkind to others are going to experience, you know, the return of that to them. You're not going to be responsible for any of it, but you're going to be able to see and understand that there is a universal balance and that, you know, it is going on around you. And if you can back off and not try to make things fair, and allow the universe to do it, it does it far better than you possibly could. James, what are you getting?
Tell me your name one more time. I'm sorry.
My name's Margie.
Yeah, I mean, one of these, what do we want to say, imbalances, or you have you know, you have wonderful perception. You have a really fine mind. You have great imagination. You can see into details. You can remember details. You can take apart things, whether they are mechanical, whether they are literary, whether they are mathematical, especially with words and writing and things that are mechanical. You have this ability, and you also, with your children, you're a great mother. Don't lose focus in terms of you've got healing ability, caring ability, psychological intuitive ability. You get physically ill, nervous, scared, anxiety-ridden, and upset because, as Barbara said, you have been battered emotionally in this life, and in past lives, you've been physically battered. There's a lot of fear. So from past lives in the solar plexus and in the Tantien, there is the nervousness and the worry and the anxiety and the fear that I'm not good enough, it's not going to turn out, this is the wrong thing, I make this decision and this could come on me or that could come on me or they could turn and do that or those out there could turn and do this to me. And what Spirit is really trying to say is, look at your children. They are great mirrors of love, and they are great mirrors of kindness and beauty in front of you. And if you are grounded, you're not going to be without a job. You're not going to be without those around you that love you. If you can get present in the doubt and the fear and the insecurity and really breathe it out, really breathe it out. The karma is over. The lesson is over. And pray and call on all angels, all guides. Pray and call for that blessing. Breathe and pray and fill yourself with light before you walk through the day, before you make the decisions of the day, before you like to take the car out, before you make up the beds, before you pick up trash, whatever it is. You'll feel a lot better because it's not going to happen now. It's over. It's residue in you, but it can still activate, and then we feel, oh, I'm nervous, oh, I'm upset, I'm worried about this, I'm worried about that, but it's not going to happen. It really isn't. Everything Barbara said is truly true.
Wow. Wow, that's very enlightening. Thank you very much. So is there anybody in particular that, you know, I know I don't know a lot about spirituality, but are there specific guides that I have that I should be keening in on? And
I see a woman around you who has nobility, and she's got integrity, ethics, kindness, but she's got nobility. She has integrity and nobility in the face of strain and hard times and narrow people. She has strength. And this might be, because Barbara read that when I saw them, it might be several generations back. She's a female, she's connected to you, but it might be the great-grandmother, it might be a great-aunt, it might be a friend of your mother, your great-grandmother. She's a very noble, loving, strong, determined presence, all for justice. Not very wealthy in this life, not very opulent, but always kind and good, really suffered, really struggled, I think, financially in this life. And she's around you to give you that strength in making decisions.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you both so very much. That's been wonderful.
Well,
okay,
God bless you.
You.
Lots of love. Lots of love to you.
Thank you. Same to you.
Take care now.
Thank you.
Okay, last caller. Angela, hi, how are you today?
Good, how are you?
Doing well. How can we help today?
I've never had a past life reading or anything like that, and I was kind of interested in that to see what has happened before, because I feel different, and I don't feel like I'm really, I guess, taken here as much as I should be for who I am. I'm not understood, so I figured there was a reason for that.
Okay.
May I go, Barbara, first?
Sure.
Really quickly, because I know Barbara has huge things to say. You've got two or three lives as somewhat of a mummer, somewhat of an exotic dancer, a belly dancer, and then as a mummer, in other words, a type of shamanic dancer that is very into loud clothes, noisemakers, that really spiritually brings in the congregation. That really and you have had because this is a real this flashiness and this zaniness of you this was also in ancient India. You were one of the in terms of calling into worship, you were one of the leaders, and you've always been very showy, flashy, funny, zany, kind of crazy, and always a very good way. And the big thing God wants you to know is if they don't understand you, it is their loss. Move on. Don't try to figure them out. They are lower energies. You're a very high vibrational energy. And you're very at home in religious ritual, more in the dancing and the celebratory rituals, less in the pious rituals. But and you've also been a speaker for human rights throughout the past 500 years. You can be very outspoken. If there's an injustice, you immediately speak it out. So you have been for the poor, for the downtrodden, for the rights of classes, for the rights of sexes, for racial causes and racial equality. You've always been very outspoken. And the more you realize you've been the rabble-rouser, the outspoken one, or the flashy one, or just the quirky, different one, this is a blessing. This is your gift. You have natural leadership ability. And just keep calling on spirit to lead you. You're going to have a great year this year.
Okay. And I want to add to that, there is the aspect of using your intuition. You have a lot of past lives in which you have been a seer. And the term seer comes up here rather than some of the other terms that we have used to sort of depict being able to tell people their future. You've not been a gypsy or a fortune teller, but you've been a seer, and I put you back in ancient Egypt with this, and where your intuition helped to guide people, and I see you using it to help in military battles and conquests. It's almost as though, and the planting of crops, so that you have a great deal of amazing intuition here that has been called upon for thousands of years, actually, so that your intuition this lifetime certainly could be utilized to help you make choices within your life and others as well. I feel that you are working on trusting it and moving into new directions with it, but it is an aspect that will get better and better with time and age. Okay?
Okay.
Well, thank you so much for calling, Angela.
Yes, thank you. Very, very helpful. And I understand and I feel that it's very comfortable with what you said. Thank you so much.
Okie doke. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Oh, James, thank you so
yes.
much. You are always such a pleasure to play with. And, you know, I really, really, really miss, you know, getting to the shows and working with you, but at least we get to do this once a month, which is a really cool thing.
It's wonderful, and I will call you and email you more. And are you contagious, or are you receiving people?
I would hope I'm contagious, but not as far as germs go. No.
Okay, I guess my correct word would have been, are you quarantined or not?
No, absolutely not. I am not catching, but I would hope that my joy is contagious because
your joy is always contagious. Your wisdom and your quirkiness are always huge and on fire in a very divine way. And thank you for asking me. It's always an honor to be with you and the wonderful callers. Many blessings and love and light to all the callers.
Well, and I'm so delighted. For those who don't know, James and I did spirit circles together, and prior to, I guess, when I invited him, he had never done one, and now he's doing them on his own. So I'm so proud of you.
Well, it's because of you. I owe it all to you. You know? But Rachel has Rachel, another of your guests, one of our colleagues from the Psychic Fairs, has done one and helps me, and we did one together at Southbury, which was very successful. So it's all good.
Well, I would not doubt at all that you and Rachel would be very successful. I'm so glad that you're doing them. So I want to thank you again, and I want to thank everybody who was here and all those who called in, and I apologize to those that we didn't get to, but call in earlier next time and we'll get to you. So have a wonderful afternoon, evening, morning, whatever it is, and we will be back here on, I will be back on next Monday, so I look forward to seeing all of you then. Take care and good night.
Good night.